Running down dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
Colley, he is the author of The Myth of the Non-Christian, Engaging Atheists, Nominal Christians in the Spiritual but Not Religious. Can I say that I have a little icky feeling in my tummy when I hear the phrase nominal Christians, or that goes right along with secular. It's another word that kind of makes me go.
Well, like, yeah, who's got the right to judge whether you're above nominal or below nominal or whatever?
Nominal.
Nominal.
Okay, sorry about that. He's on the phone all the way from, actually, Luke, where the heck are you?
I'm in Romania right now, but, from the UK, and good evening here, and good afternoon to you.
Yes, now you're starting to sound like Jim Carrey, you know, what's this, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, what was that called?
The Truman Show.
Oh, yeah, the Truman Show, yeah. So, specifically put, there's no such thing as a non-Christian. True story?
Sure, yeah. That's what it says on the back cover and in the title, The Myth of the Non-Christian. If you wanted to give it a less snappy title, you'd call it The Myth of the Generic Non-Christian. So it kind of starts out critiquing non-Christians. How can we reach non-Christians? How do we communicate to non-Christians? And I don't know that I know any such thing as a generic non-Christian. I know friends who are atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Hindu, spiritual but not religious, all the rest beside that. But I don't know anyone who'd self-identify as non-Christian. So part of the idea of the book is thinking through who it's aimed at Christians who are interested in communicating and engaging with people about Jesus. Thinking through who are you engaging with. So it kind of is describing a person centered approach to that rather than I have a message in my pocket that I would like to pull out to my broadly brushed homogenous conception of a non-Christian. and then it kind of breaks down atheists, as you said, nominal Christians that I appreciate, and I have a song to go along with that phrase, and spiritual but not religious, and kind of looks at each of those groups and different ways that that you might want to take different approaches with each of those kind of sets of people.
Okay, hold on. Did you just say I have a song to go along with that phrase?
Well, you have a song with nominal Christians, right?
All right, yes, our song, yes. I'm sorry, that was, yes, we ripped off the Muppets there. Okay, so basically, this really doesn't have much to do with evangelism, you know, it being an evangelical, does it?
Yeah, thank you for bringing up that word. It's a tricky word, isn't it, evangelism, especially because evangelist brings up the idea of a man with big hair waving his Bible on a white suit on TV. If the evangel, which is in evangelism, just kind of comes from a Greek word meaning good news, and the good news is simply who is Jesus and how is he relevant for you and for us and for the world. So I would say an evangelist is someone who wants to engage people in conversation on who Jesus was and how he's relevant for them and for the world. So in that sense, it's really directly about evangelism, but possibly not in the sense that comes to most people's minds who probably think of a wild-eyed man wielding a Bible who they kind of look for the nearest doorway to duck into when they see him coming.
Okay, so my experience is this. Like, let me just give you an example. Last summer, I went to Pagan Fest, and I watched a lesbian and a biker get married, a Hell's Angel dude or something. And then they all got naked and ran in the river and celebrated and stuff. You know, I felt a little awkward, but I also thought to myself, this is not the time to bring up issues of faith and spirituality. But I have so many people that I know. I was going to call them friends, but they're not my friends anymore. So many people that I know, Luke, who would say to me, "Well, first of all, when you go to such a thing, you need to cover yourself in prayer. Otherwise, you'll get an evil spirit on you, like a Frank Peretti novel." And then they also say, and did you tell them about the Lord? So what do you say to somebody who says that to you? Oh, you were hanging out with pagans the other day. Did you tell them about Jesus? What do you say to that person?
Yeah, sure. And I'm not really a fan of that crowbar it in there approach. I'd rather kind of behave like a human being and relate to other people, to my fellow human beings. I mean, Paul writes in the New Testament, pray that a door would open for me. So, you know, if conversation opens up that way, which I think if my Christian faith is a genuine part of my life and I end up talking about life with people, it's going to slip out even if I try for it not to. I was doing actually this week, I was invited to do evangelism training with people, with a church near here. And I basically had 2 points on how you do evangelism. The first point was spend time with people who are not Christians. The second point was don't avoid the topic. Because I do think if you're sharing your life with people, it's going to come up. Now, my book kind of makes the assumption that you are spending time with people who don't know Jesus, and that the topic is coming up sometimes. Mm. And so it's a little bit like, well, what do you do then? What you don't do is pull out your kind of one-size-fits-all strategy. But what do you do? For example, what do you do when you meet an atheist who is kind of in the lineage of Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens or so forth? What's going to be your response to that person? And surely a huge part of it is going to be about creating context where they can kind of open up about their questions, share the things it is that they don't believe. So, for example, one thing I have in the book is a friend of mine has these structured dinners he does with people. When he's had a conversation with someone who said, with a few people who said, you know what, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. And he says, well, that's great. What if a few of us got together and you guys share why you don't believe and I'll share why I do believe? And they know, so it's not kind of like come to dinner and then I spring the message on you.
Yeah.
He invites them in, they know what they're coming to, they have good food, and he's and the kind of structured way he does that. And it's been an incredibly wonderful way, actually, for atheists both to feel that their questions are heard, to have a context where they can air their questions, but also hear some thoughtful responses to those, and maybe begin taking Jesus seriously in a way that in the past they wouldn't. So the book outlines a lot of, I guess, practical ways that you can do that.
All right, I want to read some comparative statistics for Canada and the UK, because this is, you know, we get a lot of books in here, man, and very few of them even know that Canada's on the map. So thank you for recognizing this. Canadians identify as Christians almost as much as U.S. residents, but they are significantly less likely to attend church. Of course, you talk about this in your book. So here we go. 67% of the Canadian population describes themselves as Christian in 2011. 21% of the Canadian population attend church on a weekly basis in 2005. So obviously that also ties in with the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not the biker gang dressed in habits.
They wouldn't be able to be a biker gang very long. I mean, those Whipples or Whiffles, what are they called?
Whiffles.
Whipples get ripped off by the air quickly.
This suggests that a large chunk of the Canadian population consists of nominal or inactive Christians. Spirituality without religious affiliation is also common. 50% of Canadians considered themselves religious in 2012. 65% of Canadians considered themselves spiritual in 2012. So spiritual but not religious. Let's have that conversation.
Sure. So so when a person defines themselves as spiritual but not religious, they usually that means one of two things. So you might say the first sort of spiritual but not religious person would be somebody of upwards spirituality. They're reaching up for something, for God, to connect with the universe, to kind of, I don't know, or to gods. So there's some kind of search for the transcendent there. And people sound spiritual, not religious. They mean I'm searching for this thing, God, connection with the universe or the gods, but I'm not looking for that within the structures of religion as it's normally conceived. The second group of people who call themselves spiritual, not might not call that an upwards spirituality. You might call that an outward spirituality. So that means that rather than kind of seeking God or kind of transcendent experience, they want to reach out to the world around them and make it a better place. In whatever form that takes, whether that's the aspiration to do that or the fact that they're actively involved in doing that. So, and they also see the church and other religions as not the ideal vehicle for doing that. So a spiritual, not religious person might have an upwards element, might have an outwards element, or might have a combination of the two, which is probably more common, with a weighting more towards one or the other.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Hold on a second.
As I just downloaded on you.
Yeah. So I just realized that we've glazed over, or maybe you locked in and I was still thinking about Martin Joseph's music. There's no such thing as a non-Christian. Can you, again, like, Tim, did you understand what he said about that? Something grabbable onto this, and there's something not grabbable. What am I missing? There's no such thing as a non-Christian. So are you saying... Go ahead.
The next thing is a generic non-Christian would be a more pinpoint way to say it.
I still don't get that. I'm sorry. Listen, I played hockey and rodeo, so there's a few headshots that we got to deal with here.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe this is kind of possibly an internal conversation to the Christian faith, but quite often, in fact, most of the time, when you hear Christians speak or you read books about evangelism, about the art of engaging people around us with the relevance of Jesus, non-Christians are written about as if they were pretty homogenous.
Okay, now I get it, I guess. So in other words, when you get a Jesus writer and he writes about talking to the world about Jesus, he'll say, now the non-Christians need you to do this. And this is what the non-Christians are like. And so it's this homogenized, stirred in a pot kind of thing. So it doesn't take into account any individuality or any other authentic faith journeys, because I think especially back in the 80s, the Jesus people who wrote stuff like this, the evangelicals, they didn't place any what am I trying to say? Other people's spiritual journeys were not valid. Yeah. They weren't valid.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and now I feel better.
I mean, some of it's to do with the fact that, arguably 50 years ago, you might be able to make some much broader, all-encompassing statements.
But it was still ignorant.
Right.
Just because you could get away with it doesn't mean it wasn't ignorant.
I think it's a much more diverse culture now than it was 50 years ago. So if it was possible then, I don't know because I wasn't alive 50 years ago, it's certainly not possible to do it now. So.
Right. Have you received any pushback on this book? And by the way, we're on the phone with Luke Cawley. He's the author of The Myth of the Non-Christian, Engaging Atheists, Nominal Christians, and the Spiritual but Not Religious. I got to pause there for a second. Just the fact that you've written a book helping people learn how to engage in people who aren't of the same faith, to me, smacks of... Megs, you know what I'm trying to say? Do you hear any judgy kind of other... Like, we need to educate Christians how to sell Jesus better.
A little bit.
Does this sound like that?
No, well, I mean, it's not about that, and I think you can tell it from the first page if you read it, that the tone is entirely contrary to the idea of selling Jesus. It's really how do I, as one human being, to another human being or to groups of other human beings, listen to them well, understand them well, engage well with their questions, and kind of create environments where they can consider Jesus that are appropriate to who they are and on kind of off the peg kind of thing. I mean, even just one example I give there is it's a very simple one, but somebody was running a course in a church for people who are not Christians to come along and consider the Christian faith for themselves. And there was a girl, a young lady who wrote an article about this, an atheist woman wrote an article about this in a British mainstream kind of not Christian publication, saying that she went there, she was really interested in the Christian faith. She really liked the people. She really thought they were friendly and lovely and had such a warm sense of community. But every time she asked a question, okay, but what about science and God? Or, come on, what about all the suffering and all the awful things going on in the world? Or, you know, how could God possibly forgive a murderer and kind of still have a problem with me and all these sorts of things? Every time she asked a question like that, the people leading the course said, oh, it's all a mystery. Oh, we don't know. Or they quoted a Bible verse to her. And that's one of the stories I start the book with, to say, look, we need to understand where people are coming from. And sure, it's great to have, you know, for some people, the warmth of our community and our friendship will be the key thing for them. And of course, that's important in every context. But for some people, actually taking the time to hear their questions, tell them we don't know, or take the time to try and offer them exposure to the best possible answers to their questions, it would be a better approach. So I guess, yeah, I'm not really trying to sell people on Jesus.
No.
Kind of whatever is the best way to let them think about Jesus, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, well, I think we're talking about this incarnational business, right? I mean, that's a drop word from the last 10 years.
I know, yeah, that's kind of the buzzword, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But listen, any book that has a chapter that is named this, The Pimp, the Planter, and Their Friends, I'm all about, man. If you're writing it,
you are, then.
If you got a chapter about a pimp in there, I am all over that. Remember Huggy Bear, Tim? Hey, Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch?
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, it's one of these dialogues that we probably should have had more time for, but unfortunately we've got to move on. I just want to read this last part of from the back cover of the book, if you don't mind. There's no such thing as a non-Christian. Some might self-identify as spiritual but not religious, or a practicing Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslim, or an atheist, free thinker, or agnostic, but no one self-identifies as a non-Christian. Hello, I'm a non-Christian. And they have a support group as well. Christians who want to reach non-Christians need to realize that they're not all the same. I really thought we were past that. It's interesting.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? But I think possibly on the theoretical level, since you're reading the blurb, which is a kind of the very kind of introductory statement on the book, on a theoretical level, I'm sure everybody's saying, not everybody outside the church is the same. And yet, find any church or ministry, and they basically try to think, how can we engage the people here as a homogenous group?
Yep. So
I would say, even if theoretically people are on board with it, practically I'd say they're not.
Right, but you've just nailed, I think, one of the most important issues is that one of the reasons church sucks is because every church still treats their group as a homogenized group. And now we're asking that organization to look outside of its walls and do something differently when they can't even do it within their walls. That's a phenomenon.
And I think you hit the nail on the head with it. One of the challenges that we have there. The chapter two was going to be called The Missionary Who Became an Atheist. So, kind of about how I kind of accidentally became an atheist while I was a Christian missionary, and kind of how I ended up not continuing on that path. And in that kind of period of my life, certainly I probably would have been pretty angry and cynical towards the church. And I think I'm kind of in a place where I'm not uncritical of the church now, but I wouldn't necessarily recognize the criticism you just gave as being universal. I think I can see that there are, so, as well as probably having developed in myself a bit more of a kindly and gracious spirit towards the church as a whole.
Yeah, that's not me.
Where it's getting it wrong. I think also there are just a lot of good examples, and sometimes when our experience is expanded a bit, we can thankfully realize that the disasters aren't the rule.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Luke is a writer and former newspaper columnist, currently working with a nonprofit he helps set up. He spends a lot of time speaking in settings like universities about issues of spirituality, culture, and religion. He studied at Oxford University. He has nice shoes. Wheaton College and Cardiff. Boy, how many times does Wales need to come up on the show today? This is getting a little irritating. Cardiff University. The website is Luke Cawley, C-A-W-L-E-Y. Cawley, Luke Cawley, CAWLEY.org. And, of course, the book is The Myth of the Non-Christian, Engaging Atheist Nominal Christians in the Spiritual but Not Religious. Luke, I appreciate you staying up so late. I realize you've got
You're welcome.
I realize you got to get back to the poker game. So thank you very, very much.
All right. Thank you so much.
I like how the UK folks say goodbye, especially the Scottish. So many of them. Really?
Phenomena.
So many of them go like this, especially, you know, we have a good friend named Grant Wallace that we
know. Yes, Grant.
This is how Grant says goodbye. Right, bye! They almost like they sound happy when they're leaving.
Maybe it's just you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Right, bye!
Bye! That should be your new tag.
Right, bye!
Forget the God who sees you.
Yeah.